must.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Best get out of here. As soon as the sec men see him, the crap will hit the windshield for us all.
JB was right, but there wasn't time. Longknife came out of the mouth of the trail onto the bottom of Many Deer Canyon like a Gren out of a launcher, whooping and firing his old Remington pistol in the morning air. He held the reins of the pony in his mouth, the saber whirling in a circle of singing death in his left hand. It was like seeing a nest of insects disturbed by heavy feet. The two guards came running back to rejoin the rest of the sec men. Orders were apparently given, although they went unheard by the listeners on the top of the plateau far above. One of the warriors spun around and darted toward the tethered ponies.
Do not do this!
Ignoring Cuchillo Oro, he leapt onto the animal's back, whipping it away down the same trail.
It is Corn Planter. He shares a father with Longknife. His duty is to save him if he can.
There were snowy puffs of powder smoke from the grove of trees, and they could hear the flat cracks of the Springfields. None of the troopers had noticed that the lone Indian galloping toward them had companions on the bluff above. The trees were nearly a half mile away from where Ryan watched. JB shook his head in answer to the glance.
Too far, Ryan. Can't reach him with anything I got. You could hit him with a G-12, maybe put a couple down. But once they see us up here, they could circle around and we'd be in big trouble.
Ryan agreed with the armorer. Outnumbered, they could easily be trapped up there. The sec men only had to send a galloper back to their fort and bring another 20 or so reinforcements. And that would mean all of them buying the farm. Now they could also see Corn Planter, better mounted, closing the gap fast on his half-brother. But the sec men were getting the range, recovering from the shock of being charged by a single horseman. Puffs of dust, torn apart by the breeze, speckled the earth near the pony. It was only a matter of time. Cuchillo Oro watched the tragic scenario as it unfolded below them, standing at Ryan's shoulder, fingering the hilt of the golden cincada.
They will join their father.
One of the warriors took his rifle and prepared to fire down at the hidden sec men.
No, brother. There is no reason for adding more deaths.
They all saw Longknife's pony stumble and fall, throwing the warrior clean over its neck. He landed clumsily, staggering to his feet, now holding only the saber.
Come on, Longknife, move!
It was too late. They saw the first bullet hit home, somewhere near the shoulder, spinning the Mescalero around, the sword pitching from his fist to land point first in the earth. A second shot hit him in the guts, doubling him over like a man poisoned. A third shot killed him clean. Ryan had taken the glasses from JB and focused them in time to see the bullet drive upwards through the lower cheek, past the rear of the right eye, exiting through the top of the man's skull. On top of the mesa, the watchers could hear the ragged cheer of exultation from the sec men. Nobody would ever know what went through the raging mind of Corn Planter, seeing his half-brother butchered in front of his eyes. He was still a couple of hundred yards away, with a reasonable chance of reining in his pony and galloping for the cover of the rocks behind him. Instead, he shrilled a piercing war cry, flattening himself on his animal's neck, urging it on faster toward the stunted trees by the water's side. The carbines rang out once more.
They're not great shots, Ryan. Should have had him by now.
A ball from one of the carbines struck the pony between the eyes, felling it like a thunderbolt. The legs splayed as it slid down its belly, throwing Corn Planter to the left. He fell onto a heap of jagged rocks, rolling twice before lying still. Ryan could see that the warrior's right arm protruded at an obscene angle, and one leg seemed doubled beneath him.
It's done.
What had started out as a simple wreck patrol had gone woefully awry. One dead, one as good as dead, and the rest of them perched up high like stranded eagles, with the vultures below likely to spot them and come after them at any moment.
He is not dead!
As good as.
We must try to save him! Honor calls to us!
Honor's an empty fucking word. If anyone else moves, I'll blow them away. Two gone for nothing. Or if you like, for your bastard honor.
Ryan gripped the G-12 as if it were the flaming sword of an avenging angel. He was furiously angry, the brilliant red rage possessing him. Part of him almost wanted the Apaches to call his bluff, so he could spread them all over the mesa's top. The long scar across his cheek pulsed, and his eye raked the Mescalero like a rabid laser. Nobody moved. Cuchillo Oro shook his head.
There are times when all that is left is honor, brother. But you're right. More killing is pointless. We must get down from here, back to the trail. Once we are there, we can break for safety. The pony soldiers will not catch us.
The rage faded away as quickly as it had flared up. Ryan breathed slowly, calming himself, surprised at his anger. When he'd been a younger man, it had been much worse, barely controllable. His memory still retained the image of the 19-year-old Ryan Carter in a gaudy house near where Albuquerque had once been. A pimp had made the mistake of trying to roll him, cutting the whore with a straight razor when Ryan dodged. Ryan had ripped half his face clear off the streaked bone of his skull. Ryan risked a last quick glance over the lip of the cliff, seeing that the sec men were flocking like vermin to the unconscious figure of Corn Planter. Ryan turned away and followed the others to where the ponies were tied. When they reached the bottom of the snaking pathway, Cuchillo reined in his pony.
I must stay to see this thing to its ending. I am his chief. I must share the time of his passing from the earth. The rest of you go back to the rancheria, and I will follow.
The remaining Mescalero began to move off, but Ryan and JB stayed where they were. The Apache chieftain looked at them.
Why do you stay, brothers? This is no business of yours.
We came to find out what we could about these blue coat bastards. Might as well stick around.
It is good. Let us head away from the river. There.
Cuchillo Oro pointed to a draw that ran at right angles across Many Deer Canyon. The doomed day's final horrific scenes were about to begin. The two dead horses lay where they'd fallen. A buzzard was circling curiously, deterred from coming closer by the presence of the noisy group of sec men near the trees. The body of Longknife had been moved, and the three watchers couldn't see any sign of Corn Planter. It had taken a great deal of time to reach their hiding place, and the day was wearing on. The sun was already dipping below the brink of the canyon walls, the shadows making it difficult to see what the cavalry was doing by the narrow river. But Ryan and the others could still hear.
The end of torture?
My father's spirit would answer that.
I guess that means they are.
They use fire and knives. When I saw what remained of my father, I fell to my knees and wept like a foolish woman. So little was left of what had been a tall, strong, and proud man.
I've seen bad myself, Cuchillo Oro.
I believe you, weapons strike fear. But to see your father, like a hacked, twisted log, burned and blackened.
They're moving.
The sec men had saddled up, and now the burly figure with ginger hair led them out of the clump of trees, cantering toward the neck of the canyon. JB pointed at something that dangled from the lower branches of one of the trees.
Look.
Longknife. His pain is done.
And that looks like Corn Planter.
It was a grim sight. Hauled along behind the last horse by a rope bound around his wrists, the naked body of Corn Planter bounced and tossed over the rough ground. Even from where they watched, the dark smears of blood along the trail were clearly visible. The Apache was gagged, but from the way the body jerked, it was obvious that the wretched warrior still lived. The dust from the horses concealed the man suffering for a moment, the patrol nearing the opening to the main trail. As they filed through the notch, the last of the sec men paused a moment, taking off his slouch hat and waving it in a triumphant gesture of bravado.
Enough! One is paid.
Nice shot, Chief. Good clean kill.
A figure appeared, silhouetted in the pinched opening, a carbine in its hands. Ryan nearly risked a shot, but held his fire.
Better go. No point in sitting here and waiting. Can they get around behind us?
No. The canyon runs many miles, and there are no side trails. A man on foot could get above us, but the Pawnee soldiers do not do these things. It would take many hours until past night for them to circle us. We have time.
Whoever was in charge of the patrol made his decision quickly. There was a burst of shooting from the notch, making Ryan and the other two men duck down. By the time they glanced out again, the body of the sec man had been dragged into safety.
Might as well go, Cuchillo. Nothing now to hang around for.
But it still wasn't done. Jerking across a few inches at a time, the crude wooden framework almost filled the gap. With the glasses, Ryan could easily make out that it was built from broken branches, probably washed out on the trail by a flash flood in Many Deer Canyon. It was about 8 feet high and nearly the same width. The naked body of Corn Planter was spread-eagled across it, stretched into a human letter X,
head sunk on its breast.
Dead?
No. No, he's still alive. The high-power binoculars showed more than Ryan wanted to see. The Apache's whole body was a mass of oozing cuts and grazes from being dragged behind the horses, and much of the skin had been stripped away. The glasses revealed the jagged stump of white bone protruding through the flesh of a broken arm. The face was puffed and swollen, teeth missing from the sagging jaw. It looked from the unnatural angles that many of his fingers had been bent back and snapped. Clearly unconscious, it seemed that Corn Planter was mercifully unaware of the cruel and shameful indignities inflicted upon him. Cuchillo reached out for the binoculars, but Ryan shook his head.
Better not. You know what's out there. No reason to see it close.
Smoke. They've got a fire going.
It is not for cooking food.
He was right. Even without the binoculars, they could make out that piles of kindling were being pushed around the bottom of the bondage frame. The smoke was thin and almost white, showing how dry the wood was. The heat finally brought Corn Planter back to consciousness. He saw his head suddenly toss upward, the mouth opening.
Bastards. His eyes are gone.
As JB watched through the binoculars, an arm came from the left, holding a long torch, an orange flame dancing merrily at its end. Ryan considered a shot, but the billowing smoke made it an impossible target.
Is he?
No, he's still alive.
The Apache chief buried his head in his hands and rocked from side to side. Ryan had had enough. He reached across Cuchillo Oro and took the heavy buffalo rifle. He checked the double action of the trigger and glanced down at the sights, testing the light wind from left to right. The range was well below a quarter mile. The torch was moving slowly up the Apache's scarred body toward his face. Ryan leveled the gun, holding his breath, bringing the sights onto the target. His finger was light on the trigger, the wire-bound stock pressed snugly into his shoulder. The sharps kicked back, and Ryan's vision was blinded by the burst of smoke. At his side, Cuchillo jumped, as though the bullet had struck him. He looked out across Many Deer Canyon and understood. The corpse of Corn Planter slumped in its bonds, a small dark hole drilled an inch above the breastbone. Bright blood trickled from the wound, surprisingly little blood for a fatal wound. Ryan handed Cuchillo Oro the smoking rifle.
Your gun, Chief.
I could not do it. I thank you, brother. You set his spirit free.
I hope so, Cuchillo.
There was again a scattering of shots from beyond the smoldering fire, but none of the bullets came anywhere near the crouching men. JB jerked a thumb over his shoulder toward the far end of Many Deer Canyon.
Maybe we ought to move, Ryan.
Be nice to find some way of leveling the score against those bastards. We got a camp we can hold against them. They got this fort they can hold against you. They've got better weapons, discipline. And you said last night that they got a mess of self-heats out back of the museum.
Yes. There is what they call a small redoubt hidden under the mesa. And they have deep water that stays all year.
Ryan glanced up at the darkening sky. It would be dusk in a couple of hours. With a dozen armed men out there, it would be a good idea to get moving as soon as possible.
I would wish to remove the body of Long Knife.
Not now. You think they aren't going to be looking for that? Send a couple of your young men tomorrow, or the next day, Chief. Longknife's dead. A couple of days won't hurt him none. If we try now, the Sekhmen can bring their tally up to 5 for the day. Is that what you want?
No. But it is another cut in the coup stick against the Anglos.
Ryan could catch the taint of scorched flesh from the corpse of Corn Planter.
Let's go back.
They had returned safely to Drowned Squaw Canyon, free from pursuit by the Sekhmen. Cuchillo Oro had spoken little, riding his pony with his head down, locked into his own thoughts. JB and Ryan had talked tactics, finally agreeing that they needed some sort of showpiece victory. It might only be a skirmish that left the final battle as blurred as before, but it would show Yellowhair and his cavalry renegades that they meant business, and it would encourage the Mescalero for any future conflict. Now, the next morning, Ryan was finding it very hard going. He felt like he was flicking cherry pits at a lump of dough. His ideas stuck there, and nothing happened. The armorer had been looking at a torn and crumpled map of the area, trying to scout a possible location for a confrontation. One that would leave the odds firmly and safely on their side. But the Apache didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. The oldest man of the tribe, who was nearly blind,
struggled to summarize their side of the argument. His name was Many Winters.
Bad is here. Yellow hair and pony soldiers are bad. Do bad things. Wish to kill all people here at Rancheria. We fight. Always fight. But with